Years ago, the Chicago Bears and the New York Giants were involved in a football game, and the Bears running back, Walter Payton, was on the field. One of the announcers mentioned that Payton had a career rushing yardage of over 9 miles. The other announcer remarked, "Yeah, and that's with someone knocking him down every 4.6 yards. Payton knew that even the best get knocked down. The key to success that Payton knew was to get up and run again just as hard.
James 1, verses 1 through 12. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him."
Christians experience all kinds of trials throughout life. We'll have outward trials, like being persecuted for our faith. We'll also have inward trials, like being tempted to sin. One of the things that we need to get straight in our understanding as Christians is that trials are from Satan, not from God. But God uses those trials as tests of our faith in Him. He uses those tests to develop perseverance in our faith in Him. Because we're tried as Christians, because we are tested as Christians, doesn't mean necessarily that we're going to step up to the plate, so to speak, that we're going to redouble our faith in God. It doesn't mean that we're going to develop perseverance. It doesn't mean that our faith, after the test is over, is going to be strong. That choice is ours. The choice of whether or not we will maintain our faith in God, the choice of whether we will, with God's help, persevere, the choice of whether or not we will, in fact, develop. If we grow stronger in our faith, then perseverance makes us complete. It makes us mature. It puts us in a position where God promises that we will not lack anything. Obviously, God's not talking about not lacking anything in this world, but rather lacking those things that go beyond this world, that transpire in heavenly places, that those things that go above and beyond anything that we can have or attain in this world. When perseverance finishes its work, we won't lack any necessary spiritual virtues or spiritual strengths. Someone remarked, "It's in struggling against difficulty and opposition that spiritual stamina is developed." If you've ever found yourself in a position where you were undergoing some kind of a trial by Satan and you felt your faith being tested, you know the truth of that statement. Struggling against difficulty and opposition is where spiritual stamina is developed. You had to make a choice. Will I stand with God, persevere, and grow in my faith? Or will I just collapse under it and allow Satan to roll right over me? Trials bring anticipation. Anticipation of everlasting joy in God's presence, because we think about what God will develop in us. We think about the reward that God will give us for our faithfulness to Him. At 7 p.m. on October the 20th, 1968, several thousand spectators remained in the Mexico City Olympic Stadium. It was cool and dark. The last of the marathon runners were arriving, and yet more than an hour earlier, an Ethiopian by the name of Mamo World crossed the finish line as the winner. But suddenly, there was the sound of sirens and police whistles, and all of the eyes in that stadium turned to the gates where the athletes had been entering. John Akwari of Tanzania entered the stadium. He was the last man to finish the marathon. He had fallen during the race, and he had injured both his knee and his ankle. And now, with his leg bloodied and bandaged, he grimaced with each hobbling step around the track to the ultimate finish line. The spectators understandably rose and applauded him. Sometime after finishing, he was asked by a reporter, "Why did you continue the race after you were so badly injured?" Akwari replied, "My country did not send me 7,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 7,000 miles to finish it." Just as his country had sent him to be faithful to them, so it is that God calls us to be faithful to Him, to persevere in our faith regardless of the trial, to stand the test of faith. Do we need God's wisdom to face trials that are our test of faith in Him? Maybe. Probably. How often do we find ourselves involved in some kind of trial, in some kind of test of faith, and ask either out loud or within ourselves, why? And it's not a mild or disinterested why. It's an earnest, deep why? Why am I going through this? Why is God letting me have this? Why is God permitting this to happen to me? What have I done to deserve this? Why? Do we need to understand the nature and the purpose of our test and how to meet it victoriously? We have only to ask God, not once, but continuously. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 and 8, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." There don't seem to be any exceptions or limitations on that promise. It seems that Jesus is saying, you can count on God to respond to your need. You can count on God to be there. You can count on God to do what is needed for you. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said, "Perseverance is a great element of success. If you knock long enough and loud enough at the gate, you're just sure to wake up somebody." It's not that God doesn't hear us, and it's not that God ignores us. It's that He wants us to be so earnest in our desire to have His wisdom that when He gives it to us, we'll act on it. This is our test. Our perseverance develops and completes us spiritually. God has all wisdom to give us. There's no wisdom that God does not have that exists. In fact, the other is really the more true. God has all the wisdom that the world does not have. God has the ability and the desire to give it to us. He'll give it to us generously, more than we know to ask for, more than we know that we need. God will give us all that we need, and He'll give it to us without belittlement, without disgust, and without judgment. He wants us as His children to have His wisdom. He's aware of our need of His wisdom even before we ask for it. He's active and He's able in our lives. Giving is God's role and God's ability. Believing without doubt is our ability and our responsibility. God has shown His love and His unlimited ability to such an extent that you and I, if we've read the Bible at all, have no excuse for doubting and not believing in His love and in His power toward us, do we? If we're Christians and we're unsure that God will provide all we need, then we're insulting our Father who gave us life. We can be sure of one thing. We will receive nothing from God. We have disavowed Him for who He is, God Almighty. If we have no assurance in God, then we have no assurance and grounds for assurance in anything in life. Our lives then are unstable in everything we do. But if we ask for God's wisdom in faith, we'll receive it. And that, in part, is our reward for passing the test of faith. If we persevere in trials, then superficial separations between brothers in Christ will disappear. They'll just simply dissolve. If we're poor, we have high position in Christ because God lifts us up and gives us new dignity and worth for suffering disgrace for the name of Christ. If we're rich, we have a low position because we've been humbled from suffering persecution for Christ. And we learn that our wealth does not give us any advantage. It does not lengthen our life. It does not separate us from that suffering and persecution. And so in either case, perseverance brings to us completion and maturity to our faith in God. James writes in these verses that Greg read earlier, to fellow Christians, to members of God's kingdom. He speaks kingdom thinking, kingdom values, kingdom attitudes, and kingdom actions, as well as kingdom blessings. Members of God's kingdom must think from this eternal view, God's kingdom view. You and I have to change our thinking from being like the world's to God's. We have to have that long view. We have to realize that these things that happen to us in life, these trials that Satan throws on us, are momentary in the scheme of life eternal. They don't even last the bat of an eye. They're so small that they can't even be seen or experienced fully in the perspective of eternity. We must see life now through the perspective of God's kingdom, God's eternal kingdom. When we do, we'll react to these trials that Satan throws our way in a very different way, won't we? We'll see that these are not things to bury us. These are things to cause us to bear up. These are things to cause us to be able to look to God again. These are opportunities for our strength to be faith, for our faith to be strengthened and for us to grow. These are opportunities for us to really show those around us what it means in truth to be a person who lives their faith instead of just speaking their faith. These are opportunities for us to strengthen others as they're going through their trials, their tests of faith. Speed skater Dan Jensen experienced a series of disappointments in three tries to win the Olympic gold. Why did Jensen keep coming back? He wrote this, "When I was 9 years old, I was competing at the Youth National Championships in Minnesota. I was in good position to win my first national title. But coming around a turn, I tripped on a rubber hose that had been set up as a lane marker. That slip cost me the title by 1 point. I started crying. I cried as my mother took my skates off. I cried during the awards ceremony. I cried as we got in the car to head home. I cried for the whole 6 hours we were in the car, and I was still crying when we pulled into the driveway in our home. During all that time, my father had said nothing. But now he said quietly to me, "You know, Dan, there's more to life than skating around in a circle." It helps us to get a sense of perspective on life, doesn't it? That the trials Satan throws our way and the tests that God uses of them of our faith are really moments in time that we have to put in the perspective of eternity. And we have to put them in the perspective that Satan is not in control of us. He can control the trials, but he can't control us. And we're not in this alone. We have a God who's all-powerful, and Satan is not. We have a God who is waiting for us to ask for his wisdom, who is willing, is waiting to, for us to ask for his strength. We have a God who loves us. We have a God who will take care of us if we but ask. As difficult as any trial may be, when our faith is firmly in God, there is much more to life in God's eternal kingdom than the difficulties we experience then in this brief life in this world. If we pass the test of faith through perseverance, then God's reward is the crown of life. That crown may not seem very meaningful to us as we think about it. We're not in an era where people give out crowns that mean anything of significance. But in the era in which James wrote these words, crowns were significant. Whether they were the head of state, or whether they were a crown given to someone who had won some kind of Olympic sports event, they meant that you had achieved something of great significance, and people respected you for all that you had done to get there. Harold B. Walker observed, "A life of triumph hinges on a firm faith for rugged times." That's something worth remembering, isn't it? A life of triumph hinges on a firm faith for rugged times. In other words, perseverance. You and I are tested for the reality of our faith in God throughout our lives. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were tested just once and we passed it and it was over? And we could go on and live in peace and joy the rest of our lives. But James says something here that we need to remember well. James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Something there that we need to get a hold of and bear well in our memory is that each time Satan throws a trial at us, each time that God uses it to test our faith, our joy grows with each test we pass. And it's a joy that goes on because it looks toward eternity and the inexpressible joy to be experienced there. We're building joy with every trial because each time we pass that test, the joy grows. Isn't that what we really want? Doesn't that surpass any and every joy we can have here, even accumulated joys here? Do you turn to God for his necessary help when you experience trials and tests of your faith? Do you trust God to provide all that you need when you ask him? Are you persevering in your faith in God? Are you standing firm in trials? And are you developing spiritually? Are you anticipating the joy of receiving God's reward, the crown that only he can give, the only crown that matters in all of life and life eternal, the crown of life, life eternal? If you can't say yes to all of that, maybe we can help you in some way, whether through prayer or encouragement or study or some other way.